Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, the text for our sermon comes from the Holy Gospel, from John chapter 10. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Today, on Good Shepherd Sunday, we are taught and reminded and remember that Jesus is the Good Shepherd, not according to the world's standard, but according to what sheep need. We need a shepherd who lays down his life and is raised from the dead so that we too would lay down our life for others and also be raised from the dead, freed from the grave even now. Well, sheep need a shepherd. Considering sheep and animals, I have a couple questions for you. Have you ever tried to herd cats? Have you ever tried to walk a cat on a leash? Or really tried to make a cat do anything? Doesn't work so well, does it? Have you ever not let a sleeping dog lie? Have you ever looked a gift horse in the mouth? Dogs, unlike cats, well, they like to please. They can't wait for you to rub their belly. They're just waiting for you to give them something to do. Cats, they can't be wrangled. They're kind of solitary animals. Dogs slavishly obey. All of these qualities, well, they make them good cats and good dogs. A good cat owner, a good dog owner, they know their particular pet's idiosyncrasies, and they operate accordingly. What about sheep? Sheep, well, they need a shepherd. So often, being a sheep is looked down upon. Usually when someone accuses you of being a sheep, it's because you can't provide for yourself. You can't think for yourself. You need to be protected and provided for. You're just a sheep waiting to be slaughtered. It's a dog-eat-dog world, you know. It is true that being a sheep is looked down upon, but we as God's people, we need to rejoice that we are sheep. Because if we are sheep, that means we have a shepherd who takes care of us. A shepherd who puts all the ownership, all the onus of care and protection, he puts it all on himself to provide for us. To herd us, yes. Maybe not to rub our bellies, but to forgive us our sins, to guide us with his rod and staff. Sheep and shepherd is, of course, one of the most beloved and well-known pictures in the Scriptures. Jesus, as the good shepherd, brings forth all kinds of nice, calm, pastoral thoughts. Even the front of our bulletin has that famous picture of Jesus holding a lamb, gently caring for it. Providing still waters, green pastures. This is a picture that really brings us comfort when it feels that the world is just a bunch of wolves or dogs attacking us. Sheep, they need a shepherd. And this would be the only picture of Jesus we needed if sheep were, well, if sheep were just really good sheep. That it was all just the wolves and the foxes who caused all the trouble for the sheep. But you know as well as I that a characteristic of sheep is that they tend to wander from the shepherd. It isn't just that the wolves are out, but that the sheep sometimes go looking for trouble and they need to be rebuked. Sometimes they get too close to a steep cliff or a deep hole. Often it isn't the wolves that are causing the problem, but the sheep. This is an aspect we don't much care for about Jesus being our good shepherd. Sometimes the words of our good shepherd, well, our sinful nature just doesn't want to hear it. Why does the shepherd need to lay down his life? Because the sheep get into big trouble. The sheep get into big trouble that requires an act of God to bring them back to the fold. We need a shepherd who's willing to lay down his life. Sheep need a shepherd to bring them back, to bring them back home. Jesus is the good shepherd, but not according to the world's standard. The world's standard is often, if someone goes wandering off, well, it's up to them to come back. Not so according to our good shepherd. He lays down his life and he seeks us out. All throughout the Middle East, shepherds were seen not as something good, but as something lowly. Necessary, yes, to take care of the family herd. But a shepherd was not really worth much. Kind of like the world views shepherds as not that valuable. This is the history of the shepherd. They slept outside. They fought against wild animals. They weren't considered noble or of high class. They didn't fit well in the crowd because they're loners. You certainly wouldn't want your daughter or your sister to marry a shepherd. The first shepherd in the scriptures was Abel. This is the first mention of shepherding in the scriptures. Genesis, Moses writes that he was a keeper of the flock. Abel was, of course, the second born to Adam and Eve. He was put in charge of the sheep, shoveling their fertilizer. Of course, the older brother would tell him exactly where all that needed to be put. And it's not exactly a glorious job. But sheep need a shepherd who can clean up their mess. Shepherding was a way of life in the Old Testament. The shepherds, they slept outside. They didn't even have a tent. They were really roughing it. Shepherds, they're not weaklings. Abel was killed by Cain, of course, not because he was a weakling, but probably because he didn't think his brother was capable of such a heinous act. The first two brothers in humanity, and the older one murders the younger. The farmer murdered the shepherd. What are the sheep to do? Sheep need a shepherd, and they lost their shepherd. Our second reading from 1 John clues us into why Cain murdered Abel. John tells us Cain murdered Abel because Abel was righteous. The righteous, innocent one, the righteous, innocent shepherd died as a witness to righteousness. That there is indeed righteousness in the world. There is indeed good and bad, and we should be leery of the bad and the wicked. We should not have anything to do with wickedness. We see what it led Cain to do, to murder the shepherd. So the picture of the shepherd, even beginning in the Old Testament, was one of an innocent shepherd suffering at the hands of the guilty. The book of Hebrews dwells on this idea too. It makes the connection between Shepherd Abel and Shepherd Jesus. The author of Hebrews says this, "Jesus is a mediator of a new covenant. His blood is sprinkled that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Sheep need a shepherd whose blood speaks for them. The way it went with the families in the Old Testament, then after that, was that the job of shepherding the family flock that was given to the young boys. Then when another boy was born, as that son became older, he would take over shepherding. It was kind of a job that was passed on, passed down. Until the youngest boy, well, then he becomes the permanent family shepherd. This explains why when Goliath challenged the Israelites to battle, you remember that Samuel, he was looking for a worthy challenger for Goliath, and he asked Jesse, David's father, after seeing all the boys of Jesse's family, after seeing them, Samuel said to Jesse, "Well, are these all your children?" Jesse said, "No, there is the youngest, but he's just a shepherd." David, being the youngest, was the family shepherd. He was looked down upon. So being a shepherd is not uncommon for people to look down on that. Kind of maybe part of the reason why our world and us sometimes look down at our shepherd. That he doesn't provide exactly what we think he should. The world sees a shepherd as only good. And even in the Old Testament, a shepherd is only good if he's able to protect the sheep and bring nice, woolly sheep to the shearer, to bring a good return on the investment. As long as a shepherd kept the sheep alive, as long as they were productive, they were a good shepherd. Could you imagine if that's how our good shepherd treated us? That he would only keep you around as long as he benefited from you. That he would only keep us around as long as the market for wool is good. I'm not interested in a Jesus like that. I'm not interested in a shepherd that's only out for what's good for him. How about you? Is that the kind of Jesus you would like to follow? We get enough of that shepherding from the world, only using us for what it can gain from us. Would you want Jesus to shepherd you only to fleece you? That as long as you are valuable to the market, he keeps you around? That doesn't sound too good to me. But isn't that how we treat each other? So often, isn't that how we look at each other? We're usually more interested in what others can do for us than what we can do for others. So often we lament, we're always the one who cleans up, we're always the one who does the dishes and organizes things. A little help every now and then would sure be welcome. Why am I always the one who does everything? Whether it be in a relationship, in the family, at work, or even here at church. It's easy to demand others to lay down their life for us, but then when it comes to us laying down our life for just 15 minutes, well, we're not too happy about that. John writes in 1 John in our reading today, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." So being a sheep first means that you have a shepherd. A shepherd who, for all those times that you've sinned against others, for all those times you've been frustrated and have been led to sin, you have a shepherd that's there to clean up your mess. When you and your pride became angry and you bit one another, when you would scratch others in your heart or maybe even out loud, you have a shepherd who is ready to take all that sin. When Cain and Abel is played out over and over again in your own heart, you have a shepherd who knows what you need. He uses his rod and sometimes he uses his staff, and he leads you into repentance to show you how damaging your sin is and that indeed straying away from the shepherd, or sometimes you're even pushing other sheep towards a dangerous cliff, a cliff with rocks of resentment, bitter anger, and at the bottom of the cliff, death awaits. Our good shepherd is there to rebuke you with his word. Sheep need a shepherd. Our good shepherd, though, he doesn't consider it a bad deal to give his life for you. Jesus doesn't just give 15 minutes of his life for you, but he lays down his entire self. That you are not a secondary thought of his. That he doesn't think if he should lay down his life according to market value, but he sees you as his precious lamb. That Jesus' whole life and purpose was to live perfect on your behalf, that his perfect, precious blood was shed on the cross to make you part of his flock. That he baptized you, and in that baptismal water, he cleaned your wool from all the briars and stickers that you even yourself have gathered. He jumped off that cliff of death on the cross to the very depths of hell. The shepherd who was himself the Lamb of God, he took away your sins. For all those times you haven't wanted to be a sheep. For all those times you haven't wanted to lay down your life for others. He not only laid down his life, but he went to the depths of hell. And of course, he didn't stay dead. That's what we celebrate at Easter. That the sins of the sheep would not conquer the shepherd. And this is so that when we do fall down that cliff of death, whether it be because of our own stupidity or cancer or some other tragedy, our good shepherd is there to catch us. That just as he was raised from the dead on Easter, we will too. Sheep need a shepherd, and you have one. Being a sheep is a good thing. Having a shepherd is a good thing. Our society, sure, it thinks being a mama bear or a wolf of Wall Street is how you're successful. But being a sheep has eternal blessings. Our world values shepherds only when they can make a buck or two fleecing the sheep. Our shepherd doesn't work for money. He doesn't even work for himself, but he works for you. Knowing that you need a shepherd, he never leaves you. Your shepherd knows that you need to be fed. And it's good that you know that you're a sheep, because then you know that you need to be fed also. That you have a table to come to. That you need to hear the word of God. As St. Paul reminds Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, the word of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That same righteousness that kept Abel and protected him even when he was murdered will also keep and protect you. We rejoice in being sheep because that means we're not dogs, and of course, thank God we're not cats. Being a sheep means you know your Savior's voice. That's a characteristic of sheep. They know their shepherd's voice, and they don't follow strangers. His voice of absolution. You hear His voice calling you because you know you need to be fed His body and blood from His hand. You know you are in need because you know sheep need a shepherd. And your shepherd provides a life of refreshment. A life where he's never frustrated that he does all the work of your salvation. He's never upset that you sometimes take it for granted, but he forgives you. He invites you not to be fat cats, lazy dogs, or skinny cows. But he calls us to be sheep who live by faith, receiving from the good shepherd who's never far, but he's always near to you. After Cain murdered his shepherd brother Abel, God said to Cain, "The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me. How many have you slain by your thoughts and deeds? How many have you murdered by your anger? Repent and look to your shepherd brother Jesus. His blood cries out, not for us to be accused, but for God to forgive you. Your shepherd brother Jesus, His blood forgives you the most heinous crimes, crimes against humanity. For your shepherd brother, He cleanses you by His death and resurrection. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.